Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, greedy baby sticky seeds with 50 as a pop of kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 16th, 2010. It is April 6th. You're right, audience. Somebody quickly corrected me. Why did I say 16th? Oh, you know why? Because the L at the end of April looks like a 1 at the beginning of 16. April 16th. April 6th, 2010, and I love movies. That's right. I'm trying to work that in better at the beginning of the show. We're at the UCB Theater right before Comedy Death Ray, and I have everything written down on a tiny napkin tonight because the bigger piece of paper that I normally write all my notes on is sitting in my living room wherever I left it, because I at the last minute I was like, I'm going to write something else down. And I was like, oh, the Vapo bag is full. I better go hit that. I better go grab it before it explodes. Oh, I'm done hitting this Vapo bag. I better get out of here. My limousine is waiting outside. So I left my notes in my living room. But I made new ones on this napkin while eating next door, and I think this is going to work out great. Now, the people that are here viewing this in person have noticed that I have three microphones to the next of me. So that means three exciting guests. I booked them all. Well, I booked two. Well, you know, I booked them. But when it all came together, I couldn't think of a theme other than awesomeness. Yeah, there was a line extra early tonight. I don't know why, because I did not leak this at all. But my guests tonight, please welcome Paul F. Tompkins, John Hamm, and Tom Sharpling, everybody. Here they come. A lot of John Hamm, a lot of people yelling, yeah, John Hamm. It's kind of sort of a gay crowd tonight. This looks like a really weird panel that's about to take place. Like, we're all about to take questions about our sexual promiscuity. Tiger Woods, y'all. So,
wait a minute. What? How come I'm the only one that gets this boring microphone stand?
Yeah, you guys got exciting.
We all have little Pixar characters.
For you guys just dance. You guys are in the future. I'm stuck in the past.
I think I'm going to sit up a little higher. A lot easier this way.
Yeah, you could totally move it around.
If you have good or shitty posture, that microphone stand is for you.
Yeah, see? There you go. I'm calling it split the difference time.
That's the D.
Welcome, gentlemen. That was Paul F. Tompkins' voice. You recognize him from
I go like this
episodes. That's what he sounds like. I try to differentiate the voices early on, like they would in radio, but they do it in a much more boring way in radio. Like they don't say things like, and John Hamm is wearing a hat.
I'm going for sort of a Marlon Brando in The Wild Ones meets a newsie.
That newsie would be dead if he met him. And Tom Sharpling is here for the very first time.
Yes, thank you.
In the history of my show. Now, you're the host of a podcast called The Best Damn Sports Show in Podcasting?
Yeah, me, Tom Arnold, and John Sally were...
I thought Tom Arnold got kicked out of that shit.
I got him back.
Oh, good. Get him back. What's it actually called? The Best?
It's called The Best Show on WFMU.
WFMU? There you go.
That's right. Yes.
Fans, these people, they didn't even know who the guests were going to be tonight, so you're reaching a lot of people with that.
It's very powerful.
And how do people listen to it?
On the radio, usually, or on podcasts also.
So it's syndicated?
Yeah, it's syndicated. Okay. It's Citadel. Okay. And that's... It's part of the King Biscuit Flower Hour. And, it's on WFMU, and it's but you can get it as a podcast also.
Okay, so that's the best way to go for most of my listeners. And Paul keeps threatening to have a podcast. When's it going to happen?
Soon.
I can't wait.
It's for what I want to do. It's a lot of work because I want to do a produce thing. It's not just a conversational thing. So it's like. It's more involved. Like, I thought it would be great to have a more involved thing, but then I realized there's things involved.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, people are like, thank you for doing your podcast. I'm like, you're welcome for me not preparing whatsoever and talking about movies for a while like I do with my friends in a bar.
What you do is important, Doug.
Yeah, and but it's also, I'm lucky that I used to play poker with John Hamm over here, and... he owes me so much money that no matter how successful he gets, I could still get him to come in and do my podcast.
Wow. It's sad but true.
I've seen that Don Draper, when he gets mad at his wife, I've seen that at a card table. He makes me feel like such a bitch. But I just want what's best for the kids, Don.
I lost a hand to Doug once and then violently fingered him.
Thank God it was violent. If it was gentle fingering, I would have been creeped out.
Well, you wouldn't have gotten the message.
Yeah. But speaking of scary John Hamm, can I just say...
Oh, here we go.
No, it's not that good. It's just very kiss-assy.
Here
we don't go. Your second stint as host on SNL, I'm sure, will be one of many more. Ham and Bubbly is my favorite thing that ever happened on television. I watched that sketch over and over again, and there's not even any ladies in it. It was just so funny. It's how did that come about? Whose idea was Ham and Bubbly? Musical guest is Michael Bublé.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seth Meyers originally wrote the first sketch, the John Hamm's John Hamm.
Right.
Seth is a big fan of puns. Also responsible for Peter Sarsgaard's Sarsgaard. Yep. And so when they were pitching sketches, he came up to me and said, you know, we should probably revisit that. And I was sort of like, wow, really? There's more to John Hamm.
Probably
and,
revisit that.
And he wrote it up, and it was very funny at the table. And it was.
What
it
if
was
the musical guest had been Lady Gaga? I would have ruined it. But it was Hamm and Bubbly.
Yeah, because it would have been written the exact same way.
Yeah.
Why doesn't this work?
But Bubbly even used his Bublé, even used his song that now is kind of a hit. Like, I think that helped put it out there, that sketch, because
he was very game. I mean, he was he hadn't seen it really up until, because the musical guest doesn't get there till Thursday, and so he hadn't really seen it until we were sort of pretty far down the line.
Already his song without even running it by him.
Yeah,
that's sweet. But he's really great in that sketch too. I mean, that's part of what makes it work. Is he seems genuinely terrified of you, and he's a delight. He's a good singer, and that's a catchy song. So
there you have it.
I love it. Paul Tompkins.
Thanks, Doug.
Let's go back to you for a second.
Yes.
Don't, Tom Sharpling, you're not out of the hot seat. I'm coming back to you.
This is like flying coach. Right? It's like a weird four-seat coach.
Southwest of podcasting.
Yeah. It's like, we have a new version of coach. It's a little worse. Coach minus. Yeah.
There are two middle seats.
We do. There is a song at takeoff and landing on this show. So yeah.
Coach minus.
You're a tiny bag of peanuts. Paul Tompkins, lots of votes for you. I don't know if you know what's going on, but John Lithgow is going to supposedly appear on this show sometime in the year 2010.
That sounds fine. He's already here.
Oh,
Doug,
my God, you guys,
I love
John
movie.
Lithgow just showed up.
Are you sure that isn't Brody Stevens?
This guy gets it.
A lot of votes for
Lithgow.
Me. So, I think Ham has some votes too. Tom, you got to get in this race. Basically, I put it out there. Who do you want the other guest? I'll have another guest or two with John Lithgow, mm-hmm. and I want it to be in the spirit of the show. I'd like to keep it, you know, comedians or friends of mine.
Sure.
And so, people are voting on aspecialthing.com. On the I Love Movies thread, they're just weighing in, and you're getting a lot of votes, Paul F. Tompkins.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Would you, just to try to maybe get more votes, what's something you might ask John Lithgow if given the opportunity?
Oh, I would, first of all...
Don't murder me in a bathtub is what I'm going
to
say.
I would hold this guy's feet to the fire about a lot of things.
Oh, wait a second. We don't want somebody to come in and confront him.
About not giving hugs.
I think he gives a lot of hugs. He did like a children's album.
Did he really?
He's very friendly. When he yelled at Harry and Harry and the Andersons, it was for his own good. It was
people forget.
He wanted Harry to go back out into the wild where he'd be safer.
He was employing some psychiatry there. No, I what would I ask John Lithgow?
You don't. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything.
I would say like Buckaroo Banzai. Do you like it?
Did you understand what you were doing? Yeah. That seemed kind of strange in a not captivating way. I like that movie, though, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. I did. But I'd say my favorite Lithgow performance might be... I mean, he kind of did that again on Dexter and kind of in some ways did it better, but I loved him as the villain in that De Palma movie, Blowout.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic in that.
That was filmed in Philadelphia. Where I'm from.
Oh, Philadelphia, where AIDS was invented.
I believe it's
where, in a movie. It's in a
where
movie,
AIDS
guys.
Was perfected.
That's what
it's
I was going to say!
Perfected!
I'm sorry.
God damn it, you guys are fun.
We really are. So yeah, vote for me to appear with John Lithgow on the I Love Movies podcast, because I'm great.
Tom, great what would stuff. You say to John Lithgow?
I'm sorry, we are out of time. Can anybody call that, or does it have to be the host?
Look, he's tired of talking about Garp.
Anyone can move it
I'm
along.
Not going to bring up Garp at this point, because he was like a dude, like a
he was
transvestite.
He was
a
transvestite.
Right?
Yeah. Transvestite.
He's transsexual, I believe, wasn't he? He had his junk removed.
Wasn't he from Transsexual Transylvania? Yes. Am I thinking of the right film?
Let me check on Google Maps. Have you had any involvement in the world of film at all? I know Paul and John have been in a few films.
Few.
I've been humiliated by people who've bought scripts and then hurt a lot by it as they slowly take away any kind of like excitement about creating things.
you know, piece by piece, and then the thing you just don't hear from anyone again.
Yeah, you don't care for a process that moves slowly.
It's weird that it's called development.
With little gratification. Yeah, yeah, they're not developing anything. Hey, they're like the Republicans. Yeah.
What's the opposite of development?
Oh, how dare I?
Too soon.
Just lost a listener. It was like one guy going,
"That's
I think he's
enough."
Conservative deep down.
Yeah. I can't find
like,
anything to
laugh at. Whenever I hear
of
a conservative possible, I'm like, "Come on, seriously, give one of those up." There's really no reason to be both. All right, so what? Let's go back to John Hamm with his exciting hiatus from Mad Men. What movie are you doing?
Exciting hiatus.
I assume it's an exciting hiatus. It might not be. You might just be shopping for hats.
Mission accomplished.
And now what are you going to do?
Oh, some Scorsese picture.
I worked on a few films during my hiatus. A couple different movies. One was a film directed by Ben Affleck called The Town, a heist film.
I would have gotten Casey to direct that if I were you. But
I don't know about that.
Is this his Gone Baby Gone? Was that what it was called?
Gone Baby Gone was
a fantastic movie. Underrated,
I thought.
Yeah,
that was a really good
movie. I thought it was really good.
This one also takes place in Boston. Crime heist kind of bank
robbery. So you're still doing the accent, right? You haven't been able to let it go.
No, I can't let it go. I'm like Jeff Bridges. I just
it's stuck like Jeff with it. Bridges. Like he just now only makes his movies about guys that are stoned.
About super super Texas-y guys. Ever since.
Yeah, I'll do Men as Derek Goats and Crazy Heart. Those seem like they're in my range. His movies about guys that are fucked up all the time.
So that
sounds awesome.
It was super fun, and we shot that in Boston. And then I went and did a movie called Sucker Punch with Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder.
300 and the Watchmen. Watchmen.
Responsible for Gerard Butler, if you ask me.
Well,
he made him look pretty awesome in 300. No one else has that lens. Whatever it is he did, he made him thinner, taller, and more awesome. But what's Sucker Punch about? I've heard a little bit about it. It sounds amazing.
It's a very strange movie. It's somewhere between Alice in Wonderland with samurai swords and machine guns. It's a very
strange movie. So Alice in Wonderland minus Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. Sounds great.
There you go.
His movie is like, it's not even in Wonderland. It's in Underland. It's like in, let's hang out in Shitville. Instead of Wonderland.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. The movie doesn't take place in Wonderland. It's in Underland.
They call it Shitville.
No. Paul.
Was that shot?
Shitville was my name that I named it. Yeah, Shitville is where AIDS was perfected. Callback. Last week, Anthony Jeselnik and Rob Hubel kept saying callback after every callback. You had to be their callback. So what have you guys seen lately? Has anybody, Tom, have you been to the cinema?
I'll go. I'm sorry. Were you...
No,
you go.
Do you see something on the plane coming out here?
You know, I flew out here. There was no movie on the plane.
What kind of plane were you on?
It was U.S. Airways. How do they get away with... Just
five
like,
and a half hours,
like coast
right?
Coast to coast. Yeah, 5.5 hours. Like, there was no movie and no mention of why there was no movie. It's just like... We hope you have a magazine.
Not even 2.5 men they couldn't give you?
No.
They can't put a Num 3RS in there? It's my favorite
numbers.
Plane show.
Yes. Numbers.
Yes. Oh, I love my plane stories.
Yeah.
I call them.
Oh. Yeah. Please.
That is the best math drama on the air right now.
It really is. They perfected it.
I worked for 8 years on a plane show. So.
I never saw Monk on a plane.
Yeah,
it was always numbers. It was always the CBS lineup.
Yeah,
sometimes you get an NBC lineup.
Mm-hmm. So you'd get a mother, a how, meat.
Yeah,
what is it?
A himium.
Himium.
You get a bang.
A
himium. A bang.
Big bang, and then 2.5,
mm-hmm.
and
And I saw a few monks on the airplanes over the years. Now, Monk was written and performed in New York. Everything was done on the East Coast?
No, we wrote it on the East Coast. They filmed it out here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I knew you were East Coast.
Yeah.
It turns somebody so that's how oh.
I think we're talking about
out.
TV.
Oh, you thought they were sad.
Ah, there's a TV program called Monk.
Yeah.
Starring a film actor named Tony Shalhoub.
Yes, exactly. And all your parents
in,
like it.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. My father passed away a year or two ago, but before he went, mm-hmm. Monk was his thing.
Yeah.
Like, he fucking could not get enough of Monk.
It's either...
And I'd just be like, all right, Dad, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
It's either
I'm glad you like it.
For parents,
did he have a license plate frame that said, I'd rather be watching Monk?
Yeah, it was on the end of his bed in the convalescent home.
Yeah, see?
I think it shows that he still had spunk.
Yeah, the guy in the bed next to him, his said brown shoe. I don't know why. Never got a chance to ask him.
Monk was for old people or like weird little kids whose like favorite character in Star Wars is C-3PO. Like, you know, like Han Solo? No? Luke? No? You like C-3PO, really?
Well, it's a TV show. He speaks over a billion languages, you understand.
The critics love it, and the Emmys loved it. Oh my God, the Emmys. Did Tony Shalhoub wins every year.
Three-time Emmy
Award John Lithgow
winner.
Finally stepped down from that third rock
oh!
that he was having.
Yes. Thank you!
They give it...
This is too much.
That's what I would ask John Lithgow. It's like, don't you want to just recuse yourself when they just give it to you every year?
That is like, a dick move. Those people that win the Emmy year after year after year, like, you can't... I think Oprah was the only person who took herself out of it,
I
right?
think Cosby did, too.
Oh!
Larry I think Cosby was like, I have a PhD,
so I don't need another
just
Emmy.
Just until he got the doctorate. Then he was like, I'm done with Emmys.
I think Larry Kett took himself out, too.
Is that for real?
I think so.
Wow. No, that's just a fake story.
Because the show was terrible?
Exactly. He finally saw an episode.
What is the fuss about? I gotta check this show out. Yeah.
That I'm on.
When you're making movies, John, do you have time to see movies ever? Like, how do you squeeze that in?
The last few movies I've seen have been on planes.
Yeah, so what was the last one you saw?
I saw two on the last flight. I was on Nine.
Ooh.
pretty much sums it up.
I saw that with my mom on Christmas Day.
How'd that go?
And I was like, this is the only way I would sit through this thing. It's because I'm with my mom on Christmas Day.
And then I saw one that was I found surprisingly entertaining. I was telling Paul it might have been because I was on a plane.
Yeah, that helps.
It was a movie called Did You Hear About the Morgans?
No! You like that? I think it's on United this month, so I think I'm going to see it soon.
My co-star Lizzie Moss is in it, and she was very good and very funny.
Okay. And Hugh Grant,
charming.
I have never had a problem with that guy.
Charming.
Never had a problem with him.
Charming.
Maybe stuttered a little too much in the early going.
Sure. He's conquered.
But
that.
When he's about to get eaten by a bear, you can go ahead and stutter. When you're at a fucking four wedding or a funeral, there's no reason for all that stuttering.
That's true.
They finally ramped it up so that his stuttering matched the action. so that's good. All right. So that's something for me to look forward to. I saw on the plane coming back from... What? I was in Boston where everyone but one person was lovely. Shout out to everyone but that one person. But I came back. On the way back, I saw... Now I forget what it's called because I don't know grammar. Is it Orson Welles and Me or Me and Orson Welles? Me and Orson Welles. Nerds. But that's a very high caliber of nerd because that movie, do you know what it's about? Besides Orson Welles?
Me?
No.
I got no guesses.
Zac Efron is you, is the me in the title. He plays
me.
He plays us.
What? He plays the audience.
He plays the everyman that is anyone who saw Citizen Kane.
Right, right.
In a drama, not much comedy, a drama about Orson Welles putting on a play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can see where they went with
by
Efron.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So it's a guy doing young Orson Welles yelling at everybody about Shakespeare for 2 hours. Mm. So it was the best sleep I've ever gotten on a plane. I was out. I woke up 2 seconds into an Arrested Development episode, and I was so happy. Now this is what they should show on planes.
That's a good flight.
It's an eclectic flight.
Yeah. Well, I like. That's what there's like.
We're gonna show some Wonder shows in next.
What?
Forget it, Doug.
Let's forget it. Wow, this thing has been
speeding
along.
Sure, you don't
want to
hear about
along.
The movie I saw recently?
That's what I was going to say. Well, that's one last movie that we've seen lately.
I saw in a hotel room, I saw The Men Who Stare at Goats.
That I referenced earlier.
Yes, it was terrible.
All bad.
Yeah.
And I was in Canada. I was in Canada, so it was $14, which is $50.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Why did you pay that? You must have had an idea going in.
It was the lesser of 19 evils. Well, there was a bunch of stuff that I had seen, and then some stuff that I was like, not even in a hotel.
It was mostly squeakquels.
Mostly. But yeah, it's because I had read the book, which I enjoyed greatly. The book that it was...
Tom loves the book under the table like a seal.
I just like Paul reading.
I think it was just cheering books.
I'm clapping Paul reading.
Hooray for books.
It's fundamental.
I love books.
And yeah, it was like from the moment it started.
Doug hates loud talking, not reading, stupid assholes. Trying to work out the theme song ahead of time for I Love Books.
Sounds like you're there.
But is there anything worth watching in Men of Stare at Goats?
No,
because the reviews were so universally bad. I was like, wow, Clooney and Bridges and
everybody got
guy?
It right. Because but I thought the same thing. It was like, I like so many of these people.
Ooh, and McGregor is always interesting.
There will be.
Always, mostly.
That's not the same as always. And this is one
of
those
times.
He's a
really good singer in movies, shitty musicals.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
that's true.
He's
that's
really
very
good.
True. But yeah, okay. Not worth it. Not worth it. Not worth it.
All right. Everybody avoid that goat movie like you've already been doing. Proceed as you were to ignoring the many stare goats. Do you guys want to play a little Leonard Maltin game?
I know these guys do. And so do I.
All right. Let's get some contestants. Or not contestants, but people for you guys to play for. Because we got some fantastic prizes.
People for whom to play.
And people who sit right over here with a bunch of beers between their legs are usually the ones that get chosen. What is your name, sir?
Dan.
Dan, and who would you like to play for you? Tom, John, or Paul F. Tompkins?
Mr. F. Tomp.
Yeah, see, I had a feeling. When I saw your loose baggy shorts, I thought, this is a Tompkins man.
Classic. So, classic Tompkins man.
So what's your name again? Dan? All right, Dan. Paul, could you remember that you're playing for Dan?
Dan.
Okay. Nicely done. What's your name?
Travis.
Travis, and who would you like to play for you, John or Tom?
I'd like to ham it.
That wasn't one of the choices.
Yeah. I'm going to ham that shit. All right. And what's your name stuck with Tom Sharpling?
Yes.
Juan, okay, you get Tom. But he's a wild card. We don't know how he plays.
We're going to do this.
Who is my guy? Hamming it?
Travis.
Ham.
All right.
Juan, Tom, Dan, Paul. Here we go.
I'm sorry. May I ask very briefly? Do people not like that other game, which I enjoy greatly,
the Build a Title
game? Yeah.
They do. People are
by a round of applause.
People
how many
grumbly.
People love that game? Silence. By a round of applause, how many people hate that game?
Oh, there's one and
it's not
crowd.
Applause. It's not applause.
There's a total.
Yeah, that's right. I said hate. It's opposite of love.
Yeah, that's the trouble. There's too much of a gray area. I get a lot of messages from people, I don't care for it when you know, and I'm like, well, as long as you don't hate it, I'm going to keep doing it.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, even when they hate it, I keep doing it. I'm here to do what I want to do. And what I want to do is play the Len Maltin game. And we'll throw in a Build a Title at the end if there's time.
All right.
So you guys got to play fast.
The category.
The category is... Most of the guests don't help me along like you do. That's awesome.
It's fun. It's fun to remember things.
Dan. I'm going to try it someday. All right, here we go. The topic is, these are Ed Norton's favorite movies.
What?
According to Ed Norton. He was on, I assume none of you saw it. Recuse yourself if you saw it. He was on the Rotten Tomatoes website and TV show. And they... I know, there's both. Hmm. And he had to name his top five movies, and he did it.
Normally, I would have
Oh, he was able to do it?
He was able to do it. Well, he named five movies, but we were only using four in the game because the fifth movie was The Cruise. And and there's the only person in The Cruise is that guy, that crazy guy that gives the tours.
Timothy Speed-Levitch.
You fags owe each other a Coke.
Some guy over here trying to start a Kiss chant.
I know. I don't. It's so funny though how gay that is. Because it shouldn't be, right? You're just two smart men saying a smart thing at the same time.
Yeah, but that thing was Timothy Speed-Levitch.
He's pretty gay.
He is? He insisted that he was not in that film.
But he's super fruity?
I think he might be mistaken.
I never saw the film. I never saw it. I'm going to because
that film is
it's
worth
one
seeing
of Ed
once.
Norton's five favorite
It is
movies.
Worth seeing once, but I never understood people that would want to see that more than one time. And I knew people
well,
that owned
most
it.
Most documentaries, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Once is good.
Except Paradise Lost.
You can watch that
watch
over and over
that
again.
Shit all day long.
I like what's it called? American Movie. I like that one. I can watch that one a lot. That one's amazing. There's one. It still hasn't
Coven.
Come out yet. There's a documentary called Winnebago Man. It's about that guy that making that infomercial where he got mad, where they like they like try to find him and then you know and then meet him and talk to him. Spoiler alert. And it's called Winnebago Man, and a guy gave me a copy of it at South by Southwest because I guess they're still trying to get a distributor or
what?
Still trying to get stuff going. I know. But it's an amazing movie. It's really really entertaining.
Well, all do right. they need help? Is there anything we can do?
We just did it. We just... 1,700 people just heard what I said. No, it's really been fun going out on the road lately because, like, this last weekend we were in Massachusetts, Graham Elwood and I, and we were in, like, Boston and Chicopee, Mass, and Rhode Island, and Providence, Rhode Island. And every show, there were lots of people that listened to the podcast. It's really, so, you know, for your live shows in the future, Tom Sharpling and John Hamm, you should mention them on podcasts. Paul, do you do any live shows?
Yeah.
I like your thing where you get people to vote up to once there's 300 people in.
Not a vote.
Well, whatever. They what do? They bid?
People join.
They join.
They join a movement.
They join a group of people who are going to show up if you do a show in their town.
Yes,
and when you get to 300, bam, you do a show.
Yes.
And it's like
city?
A tea party.
Yeah. It is like a tea party.
It's totally like a tea party.
We hate black people.
And you want to murder Congress people.
That's right. That's right.
Now, listen, the tea party is only 81% white. So that means it's 19% even dumber than the 81%.
I'm ethnic and I'm a teabagger. What of it?
All right. Okay, so Ed Norton's favorite movies. Let's let Tom pick a year to start with and start the bidding. Do you want one of Ed Norton's favorite movies from 1935?
No, I don't.
1986 or 1983?
86.
All right, we're going 86. Mm. And this movie is one of Edward Norton's favorites. Len gives it 3.5 stars, so Len is a fan. And let's see what Len says about it.
This is out of 5 or out of 4?
Oh, this is a original comedy satire. Comedy satire with a hyphen in between the two.
Oh, so it's both.
It's one of those.
It's a hybrid comedy and satire.
Not yet. And well, it's about one of everybody's favorite subjects. That's what it's about.
Pussy.
And it's from 1986. And there's four names listed. So you could start the bidding with four names or jump all the way down to zero names.
But it's not Winnebago Man.
It is not Winnebago Man. How many names do you like to start with?
One.
You can name it in one name?
Yes.
You're out of your mind. Okay, John Hamm, can you name it in less names?
I can't.
So are you going to say name that movie?
I would say name
All right,
that
Tom
movie.
Sharpling, name that movie. The one name you get is Koji Yakusho. Koji Yakusho.
Bob Roberts.
That is a great guess. Did you think you got into the mind of Ed Norton?
Yes,
enough?
I was trying to picture Ed Norton in 1986. What would have?
Well, that was a ballsy move on your part, and welcome to the game. Which is not unlike
See, I just go for it in life. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna go for it.
You did go for it. Let me list the rest of the names and see if anyone in this room even knows what this movie is. I'm not sure Ed Norton knows what this movie is. Koji Yakusho, Nobuko Miyamoto, Toshimo Yamazigi.
Is it Eat a Bowl of Tea?
No, good guess though. And the number one name, Ken Watanabe.
Ringu.
It's from 1986 and it's Japanese. It's a funny original comedy about food.
I'm pretty sure it's Gung Ho.
And it's called
Tapapa.
Popo. That's right, Tom.
I heard people yelling it out, and then I mocked them on the microphone. Because they had knowledge I did not possess.
Tom Popo! Like, how could you ever say, I wouldn't even be able to buy a ticket to Tom Popo. See, I couldn't even say it then, because it's so embarrassing and weird. But it's one of Ed Norton's favorites, so now I'm going to check it out. And
one of his five favorite movies.
Yeah, John Hamm
top
gets
five,
the point.
Tom top Popo. Five.
With the Cruise. The Cruise and Tom Popo. So now you're getting a kind of an idea, a feel for how useless this is as a category.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the category might as well be called Movies That Were Made. All right, so we'll start with Paul on this next one. He can pick the year.
I'm Paul. I'm playing for Dan.
Would you like to go for 1935, 1983, or 1966?
I would like to go for 1935.
Oh, good Lord.
Old
Here we
school.
Go. 4 stars from Mr. Maltin.
Classic.
Yeah.
That was pretty
stupid. He gets it.
He calls it a completely winning movie that was remade as the title of the remake was Fancy Pants. Worthless clue. If someone on this panel knew what Fancy Pants was, that's a remake Fancy of the Pants 1935 gem.
Fancy Pants was a movie with Bob Hope and Lucille Ball, as a matter of fact.
Oh, do you know what it was a remake of?
No.
Here we go.
Let's see if I can pull it, though. I might be able to pull it.
Try to pull it.
Well,
but start the bidding. There's 6 names.
I can name that movie in 6 names.
Nice. Tom?
How bidding starts, everybody who's laughing.
Well, 5.
You don't go in like
Tom
barter with somebody and say, how about you give it to me for free?
Yeah.
Tom says 5.
I'll say 4.
John Hamm says 4. Paul Tompkins, it's back to you.
John Hamm, name that film.
Oh, you son of a gun.
4 names.
Four names.
I think you might be
four
able to
of
do
six.
It.
Because I realize like the last 3 names are going to be the people that were in every
Gregson
movie
Terwilliger.
At that time.
Yeah. Okay, 1935. 4 stars.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Remake of Fancy Pants. Remade as Fancy Pants. Completely winning movie. Lila Hyams.
Oh my God.
Was in this movie. Roland Young. Zazu Pitts, and Charles Ruggles is your 4th name. Charles Ruggles was in everything back then.
35.
Yeah, but Charles Ruggles is.
Do I get a chance to name
really
it?
It's a really good clue.
If John
for,
can't
for
name
fun,
it,
you can try to name it, but not out. To steal. We don't do it.
Not
that
to.
Way.
I would never steal anything.
you were going to get this by default.
You got nothing. Nothing's
the 1935 coming. Precursor to Fancy Pants. I'm pretty sure was called Pansy Fants. Fancy Pants.
How awesome would that be? If they just like more people would come if we just switched 2 letters.
You haven't said I'm wrong.
You're incorrect.
Did this movie? May I ask a question?
Yes.
Did this movie star Charles Laughton?
Yes, it did.
And was the name of this movie Ruggles of Red Gap?
Yes, it is.
God damn it.
You're in the mind of Edward Norton. You're in Ned Norton's head.
I'm on your trail, Norton.
Tempopo.
And you get the point. You get the point either way. So,
do I really?
Yeah, because you challenged John and he couldn't do it. So now,
tie ball game.
John has a point. Paul
These
has
are
a
the
point.
Affairs of men.
I'm trying to like hide in the drama.
I don't know what that is.
Was that a line from Ruggles of Redgate?
Red Gap.
That's what I meant.
That's where Gap got the idea for that red campaign. All right, here we go. Since Tom is down here sad and lonely and right next to me,
yeah.
Let's start with him. You want one from 83 or 66?
83.
Someone in the audience is very excited that we went 83 instead of 66. They're just in the audience going, before I was born, please. I mean, not, you know what I mean. 3.5 stars. Robbed! This is a 4-star movie. If ever there was one. About it, Leonard Maltin says, the denouement is a wow.
Wow.
I've seen this movie 17 times, and I don't know what's so wow about the denouement. Wow. Denouement. Okay. And what I say, it was a Ed Norton favorite, 3.5 stars, and there's about 8 names. Let's go with 8 names. Tom, how many can you do it in?
7.
7 names. Mm. Nice jump.
Thank you. It's one less.
I'll go 6.
John says 6 names.
Do I go now?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
4 names.
4 names. Tom Sharpling. Can you do less names than 4, or are you going to say Paul F. Tompkins name that movie?
I'm going to say Paul F. Tompkins name that movie.
I think we have a winner, and his name is Paul F. Tompkins. I don't like to predict what's going to happen like Alex Trebek does, but I think we have a winner.
83, right?
I think you can do it in one name.
83, so denouement is a wow.
Show me you can do it in one name.
Okay.
Freddie DeCorvida.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's the king of comedy.
That's right, the king of comedy. I knew you could do it in one name. Ed Hurley, Tony Randall,
and little old
Shelley Hack.
I'm Ed Hurley.
Shelley Hack. This is one of those movies where the bottom is Shelley not Hack. Makes it easier. Like, it'd be harder if I just said, name a movie that De Niro did in 1983.
King of Comedy.
Wow, you are really good at this.
Yeah, you got it. You got him one name. Twice.
All right, so Paul F. Tompkins is our winner. That means Dan wins the prizes. Is that right?
Yes, I was playing for Dan.
Playing for Dan.
I was the proxy for Dan.
Dan is also a group you can donate to. It's Dads Against Nannies. And Paul was playing for them tonight. Okay, so you
bring
win,
it all back
Dan.
To Tiger Woods.
You win a copy of a motion picture starring me and Paul F. Tompkins called Super High Me. Win a copy of that. Look for it at midnight on 420 on G4. So technically it's on at 421.
Boo! Yeah,
that's what I said to them. How dare you! And then you also win a Too Trunk to Dweet t-shirt that are available, as always, at DonkeyTees.com. And you win a copy of my first album, Professional Humoridian, which you can get at AstRecords.com. And thank you very much, Dan, for playing and winning. Thank you for winning. And the other two quote-unquote losers get to name who I should call a shithead. You gentlemen discuss amongst yourselves. Any plugs? Anything coming up? Any dates you're doing you like to talk about?
When does this drop, Doug?
This weekend sometime. So around 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
I'll be in Dallas, Texas at the Lakewood Theater Saturday, the 10th. And then I'll be in Madison, Wisconsin. May 21st, and then Seattle sometime, and then Austin, Texas at a point.
Where are you? That was kind of sounded like somebody. Who was that?
I don't know, but not somebody you want to listen to for very long.
No. It was just the perfect length.
Kind of sounded like the guy that did the old Levi's ads.
Yeah, that guy won't be...
The beat poet?
Nardine. Al Nardine?
Ken Nardine.
Ken Nardine, that's right. Nardine.
The Sanka man.
Yeah. What, did he do Sanka commercials?
Maybe Folgers.
I love Sanka. It's a good coffee.
Was it Folgers?
I get it now. Now that I'm older, I get it.
Sanka?
Sanka, yeah.
You get Sanka?
It's revealed itself to me.
Yeah.
But what about that one where you open up the lid and it goes, fresh, fresh, fresh?
That sounds too young.
Okay, so where are you playing in Madison?
I don't remember the name of the place, but it is going to be great.
All right. I'm going to be at the... There's a place called Comedy on State Street in Madison where I'm going to be April 15th.
Too descriptive.
15th through the 17th. I know. What is this? Why isn't it called Comedy on State Street? There's a two-drink minimum. But yeah, it's April 15th through 17th. And I'm going to be at the Rave in whatever that is in Milwaukee on 4/18. It's going to be a 4/20 matinee on that show.
Will that be 4/18/1999?
4/18. Why John Hamm?
It's called the Rave.
Oh. No, it's the Rave, not a Rave.
Bring a pacifier and get it half right.
Don't bring a pacifier, get in free. All right, so then...
Turn about is fair play.
I Love Movies Live. We're going to do another live road version at the Irvine Improv on April 28th, 2010. I'll bring a couple of awesome guests down there with me. And John Hamm, do you have any release dates on those movies of yours? Or,
The Town will be coming out this fall. Sucker Punch will be coming out, I think, around Christmas.
Award season, I like
and, it. And Mad Men Season 4 will be coming out this summer. And DVDs for Season 3 coming out next month.
Nice. So happy that I just got you a whole bunch of new viewers.
Just doubled our audience.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I also do love that Breaking Bad. I mean, for a network, yeah. They've got like the two best shows. It's crazy.
What about Rubicon? What's the advance word on Rubicon? I saw a promo look pretty intriguing. Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
Paul is full of voices that he
can't name.
Can't figure out who they are.
When does Rubicon come on? I'm going to watch Rubicon.
Tom Sharpling, tell us again when we can listen to your best show on WMFU.
MFU, so thank you.
MFU? Yeah,
almost.
FMU.
FMU. Yes. FMU.
Friendsoftom.com. Just go to friendsoftom.com.
Oh, okay. Is that also, so it's like for alcoholics?
Yes.
Exactly. All right, thank you so much. Let's give a round of applause for my wonderful guests. Oh my God, my guests, they're mine. Mine. And as always, Michael Phelps is a shithead, and Tiger Woods is a shithead.